Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast from GPB News. Today is Friday, January 3rd. I'm Peter Biello. On today's episode, the Fulton County Jail and the Justice Department reach an agreement. The founder of SCAD gets a Presidential Medal of Freedom, and we'll take a look at the musical life of former President Jimmy Carter. These stories and more are coming up on this edition of Georgia Today. The U.S. Justice Department and Atlanta's Fulton County have entered into a court-enforceable agreement aimed at taming the violent and filthy conditions at the county jail. A judge still has to approve the proposed consent decree, announced by both parties today. It would resolve what the DOJ identified as constitutional violations at the jail through staffing, health care, housekeeping, and other improvements. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is moving forward with the plan to expand the Okefenokee National Wildlife Refuge. The agency announced the move today after it received an enthusiastic reception during a 55-day public comment period. The swamp supporters hope expanding the refuge boundaries will help sink a proposed titanium mine. An Alabama company, Twin Pines Minerals, is seeking state permits for the mine near the refuge. Former President Jimmy Carter was known as an environmentalist. One way he demonstrated this was by planting an orchard of fast-growing empress trees on his farm in the 1990s. 30 years later, he cut one down and had it made into a guitar. GPB's Ellen Eldridge has more.
Carter, a three-time Grammy Award-winning president, promoted empress as an alternative to traditional tone woods for stringed instruments, which are becoming harder to find. Jason Costell is the luthier who built Carter's guitar. He says he most respected President Carter's military service and wanted to honor that artistically.
My alma mater, West Point, our colors are black and gold. And so I trimmed the guitar in black so that it basically pays tribute to both of our services and both of our alma maters.
Costell says he, quote, punked Carter by writing "Beat Navy" on the back of the guitar in Morse code, to which Carter, a Navy veteran, reminded him which team had been winning. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
Commissioning a guitar for himself was just one sign of a president who loved music. Jimmy Carter was a music champion who earned the early and loyal support of musicians, including, famously, the Macon-based Southern rockers the Allman Brothers. GPB spoke with journalist Alan Paul, who has written two biographies of the band.
As much as the Allman Brothers and other musicians helped Jimmy Carter and helped him become president, he also shone a light on them and gave them respect in a way that mattered. It mattered tremendously to them. And so Jimmy Carter, in addition to everything else as president and an American leader and an international leader, was just a tremendous advocate for music and musicians. It's something that I think should always be remembered about him.
Carter enjoyed rock, country, jazz, blues, gospel, and so many more styles of music that he brought with him into the White House. He was accompanied by music his entire life. Former GPB reporter Stephen Fowler, now with NPR, brings us some of the sounds of the late former president.
He may not have played saxophone like Bill Clinton or composed piano tunes like Richard Nixon, but music has played an important role in Jimmy Carter's life from the start. When Carter joined the Navy as a young man, a frequent sound heard at the Academy was the Navy hymn, "Eternal Father, Strong to Save." Written as a poem in 1860, the song was also a favorite of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt and was performed at the Capitol, where John F. Kennedy's body would lie in state. C. Edward Spann, author of a book on presidential hymns, writes that Carter, a lifelong Baptist, asked the Navy Glee Club to perform the number at his state funeral as well. While governor of Georgia, Carter supported anti-piracy legislation and became acquainted with the musicians of Macon's Capricorn Records, like Otis Redding, Charlie Daniels, and the Allman Brothers, heard here performing their song, "Hotlanta." Hot Carter's run for president struck a chord with many musicians. The Allman Brothers held campaign concerts, the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra's Robert Shaw wrote a $1,000 check, and folk singer Oscar Brand sung the campaign song, Why Not the Best?
Once and for all, why not the best? He said his name was Jimmy Carter, and he was running for president. Then he laid out a plan of action.
Carter's appreciation for music extended far beyond hymns and Southern rock songs, as a 1978 jazz concert at the White House brought to light. Everyone from Herbie Hancock to Dizzy Gillespie played, and the latter invited Carter up to the stage to perform the vocals to the tune Salt Peanuts, as heard here on this clip from the BBC.
Salt peanuts, salt peanuts. Salt peanuts, salt peanuts. Salt peanuts, salt peanuts. Salt peanuts, salt peanuts.
Carter told the New York Times then that he had been listening to jazz from a young age and called it an art form that helped break down racial barriers.
I just got one question. Would you like to go on the road with us?
Jimmy Carter had also been the subject of many musical odes, ranging in style from disco.
Can our government be competent? Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Can our government be honest? Jimmy Carter says yes.
To a Western-ish tone poem.
Beloved friends, see Jimmy Carter in office. Viva President Jimmy Carter.
It's not just from his time in office, either. Consider this 2011 song from Louisiana rapper Lil Wayne, fittingly called President Carter.
Carter, are you prepared to take the constitutional oath?
I am.
Would you place your left hand on the Bible and raise your right hand and repeat after me? I,
President Carter, President Carter, President Carter, President Carter, President Carter, President Carter.
Jimmy Carter stayed lifelong friends with many musicians who have impacted his life, like Willie Nelson. Harkening back to his Baptist roots, one of Jimmy Carter's favorite songs to sing is the hymn Amazing Grace. Here's a YouTube recording of Carter and his wife Rosalind joining Nelson at a recent concert in Atlanta. So anytime you see pictures of the former president building a house with Habitat for Humanity or speaking out about global issues, just know he was probably doing it with a song in his heart. For GPB News, I'm Stephen Fowler.
Part of former President Jimmy Carter's legacy can likely be found at any number of craft breweries throughout the country. In 1978, Carter signed a bill ending the prohibition on home brewing beer. As states gradually followed suit, Georgia legalized the hobby in the 1990s, home brewing grew in popularity and helped create new generations of craft beer entrepreneurs. With me to discuss this aspect of Carter's legacy is Charlie Papazian, the author of The Complete Joy of Home Brewing. Charlie Papazian, thank you so much for speaking with me. Before Carter signed the legislation lifting the federal prohibition on homebrewing, what was it like for homebrewers who were trying to learn the craft?
Well, the fact that homebrewing was illegal really didn't stop the beer enthusiasts at the time. We knew that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms had a lot more important things to do. And then, you know, they've come out and kind of indicated that they weren't interested in prosecuting home brewers who were making beer for their own personal use.
As far as I understand it, they actually came to one of the classes that you were teaching, right? You had an ATF agent show up?
Well, allegedly, yes.
You never got confirmation of that?
Well, I was teaching homebrew classes here in Boulder, Colorado in the 1970s, and I got a warning that somebody suspicious had registered for my class. And this guy showed up with a dark slack pants, a white shirt, and a black necktie. And he probably was the only person dressed like that for miles around. And he came to the class. And I knew he was going to be coming. And I just gave my ordinary spiel that, you know, the BATF has, the government has better things to do than arrest homebrewers. Just, you make homebrew, make it for your own personal use, and definitely don't sell it. And then I went on with teaching the class, and he rolled up his sleeves and learned how to make beer in the two classes that he showed up in.
What was your reaction when Carter signed the bill lifting the prohibition on homebrewing?
I was really happy that it happened. But I tell you, a lot of my homebrewing students that had taken my class, they said, oh, nuts. Now that it's legal, it's not going to be as much fun. But it turned out that it's really a blast. And I'm still brewing after 50 years.
In addition to the hobby staying fun as it ever was, what other changes happened to the hobby once the bill was signed lifting the prohibition?
Well, the bill really had some serious effects positively on the quality and the quantity of and the variety of beer making supplies, ingredients, equipment. You know, the ingredients became more fresh as people were able to really learn about home brewing and access these ingredients. But what really inhibited things was the ability to get together and have homebrew competitions and homebrew events and share your knowledge and your beer with others. And that's what the legislation really addressed more seriously than the ability to make it at home. It was the ability to share it with your friends and go to club meetings and have conferences and competitions and learn about the art and science of home brewing.
So what was the impact of finally being allowed to have those conferences and those competitions?
Well, in those days, there was very little homebrew knowledge available. There weren't very many books. Mine was one of the few. So we had to rely on each other's experiences and the sharing of knowledge, you know, one-on-one with each other. So it was pretty damn important that we'd be able to get together and taste each other's beer and talk about what we were tasting, what was good about our beers and what was not so good about our beers. And that was the whole foundation of the culture of home brewing, was sharing of knowledge. And it continues to this day, not only with home brewing, but the foundation of and the idea of collaboration and sharing information really has spilled over to the professional craft beer and brewing movement as well. So it was home brewers that were really driving the craft beer movement throughout the 70s, 80s, 90s, and even today. A lot of the innovation that we see had its foundation in some home brewers' home brewery.
Well, as we raise a pint to President Carter, Charlie Papazian, thank you so much for speaking with me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Peter. It's been fun. It's too bad we couldn't be sharing a beer while we were doing this.
We'll make sure to do that next time. Thank you so much. That's Charlie Papazian. He's the author of The Complete Joy of Homebrewing, and we've been speaking about the late President Jimmy Carter's impact on homebrewing as a hobby and the craft beer industry. While the data show fewer people are dying from opioid overdoses, the supply of the deadly drugs entering the country shows no signs of slowing down. GPB's Sophie Gratis has more.
Nationally, synthetic opioids, primarily fentanyl, now cause more overdose deaths than any other illicit drug. This year, the Drug Enforcement Agency's Atlanta Division, which covers Georgia, North Carolina, and South Carolina, seized almost 600 pounds of fentanyl powder, and more than double the amount of pills containing illicit fentanyl than it did last year. That's about 40,000 pills. Special Agent Robert Murphy with the Atlanta DEA says trends indicate that number will grow, as will the influx of synthetic drugs from overseas.
It's all going to be synthetic drugs. It's extremely cheap, very profitable for cartels, and it's endless combinations.
Plus, they're easy to smuggle. It also poses a problem for regulation, as synthetic drugs can be easily mixed with other legal drugs. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
President Joe Biden honored the president and founder of the Savannah College of Art and Design at a White House ceremony last night, GPB's Benjamin Payne reports.
Paula Wallace was among 20 recipients of the Presidential Citizens Medal, the second highest honor a civilian can earn, behind only the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Wallace founded the Savannah College of Art and Design out of a dilapidated armory building downtown in 1978. Since then, she's grown the college from an obscure art school with just a few dozen students to a sprawling, nationally renowned institution with roughly 18,000 students. Speaking at the White House, Biden called Wallace a lifelong educator and trailblazer of the arts.
Our democracy begins and ends with the duties of citizenship. That's our work for the ages. That's what all of you, and I mean this, all of you embody.
Honorees also included former U.S. Congresswoman Liz Cheney and lawyer Mary Bonatto, who fought to legalize same-sex marriage. For GPB News, I'm Benjamin Payne in Savannah.
The National Weather Service says it is still too early to tell whether North Georgia will see any snow next week. The region had been abuzz the past few days with long-term forecasts showing a mix of very cold weather and possible precipitation on Thursday or Friday. But meteorologist David Nadler of the agency's Peachtree City office says modeling winter storms this far out gives him little confidence in those forecasts.
You could look at one model, you know, 1 minute, and it shows whatever, a ridiculous amount of snow over Atlanta. And then the next run, 6 hours later, it could be completely dry. So that kind of flip-flopping, you know, happens. It's not unusual.
He says forecasters will have a better idea of what might happen Thursday or Friday by Sunday or Monday. Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year. On April 16, 1925, former Atlanta Mayor Walter Sims signed a 5-year lease to create the airport out of an abandoned racetrack. Arthur Bryce with Georgia Trend magazine says the airport was an early success.
By 1930, they were already the third busiest airport in the nation behind New York and Chicago. And it just grew, just took off.
To mark the centennial, the airport's iconic lighted canopy now displays ATL 100, a tribute that will shine throughout most of the year. Later this month, Atlanta's current and former mayors will gather to share their memories of the historic hub. Developers are planning a $17 billion data center complex in Metro Atlanta's Coweta County. Plans submitted to state and county officials this week propose 13 buildings consuming a massive amount of electricity and water and juicing local tax coffers by $1.5 billion. It's unclear what company or companies will use the facility. In sports, the Bulldogs ended their run in the college football playoff in a 23-10 loss to Notre Dame yesterday in the Sugar Bowl. The game was rescheduled from Wednesday because of the terrorist attack that killed 14 people in New Orleans. Bulldogs coach Kirby Smart says he doesn't regret aggressive offense play calls that backfired during the game. Smart was frequently outmaneuvered by Notre Dame coach Marcus Freeman. The loss ended Georgia's season with an 11-3 record and an SEC championship. And that is it for this edition of Georgia Today. If you want to learn more about any of these stories, visit gpb.org/news. And as the nation prepares to say goodbye to former President Jimmy Carter, join me and Morning Edition host Pamela Kirkland Saturday afternoon for special coverage of Carter's final journey. We will bring you the stories and reflections that honor his remarkable legacy. That's Saturday at 3 on GPB, and you can stream it at gpb.org. If you haven't subscribed to this podcast yet, take a moment, do it now. That'll keep us current in your podcast feed. And if you've got feedback, we would love to hear from you. Send us an email. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. Have a great weekend.